Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and with me today is...
Chipper. Chip.
That's what Brother Hagin called you?
Yeah.
You didn't let anybody else call you that now, did you?
No.
We all used to call you that when you were little. And of course, Brother Hagin knew you when you were little. So even at your dad's funeral, when you received your call to preach, we'll tell about that a little bit, because that's when you became anointed.
Yeah.
To go.
The anointing is now upon you.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go into that. My husband, Kent Brim, had a wonderful healing ministry, and I'm not going into all the details about it, but he was a pipe fitter. He didn't feel like he was a preacher, you know. And we had a church in Collinsville. If you could come to see him, he would pray for you. There's an amazing testimony of healing of a boy who had heart trouble and so weak. And they brought him to the City of Faith. The City of Faith could do nothing for him. They brought him over to our church. Kent prayed for him, and he was instantly healed. He later ran track in college. But Kent did not want to travel in ministry. And Brother Hagin would call him out at meetings and tell him he wasn't obeying God. And God would speak to him and tell him to go out in ministry, and he'd try it, and then he didn't like it, and it got him into trouble. And I really think that's why he left Earth early. And so when he passed away, he had been sick, really sick, for about 10 months. And he was only 49 years old. And so I prayed the night when he passed to heaven, "Lord, what shall I do?" And the Lord said, "Get Kenneth Hagin to preach the sermon, the funeral." Well, Kenneth Hagin didn't preach funerals. I knew it. He didn't do weddings either. I knew it. So I called Brother Hagin. He was in the South somewhere preaching. And I told him Kent was gone and what the Lord had told me. And he said, "Well, I'll pray about it." So he prayed about it. And then he called me back. And he said, "The Lord said to do it. But he said, you'll have to hold him. I've got to finish this meeting." So we held him for almost a week. And then he preached the funeral. And we're at the funeral. How old were you then, Chip?
I just graduated college.
Just graduated college.
Or something like that.
And so we were at the funeral, and Brother Hagin was preaching, and I just knew that God was going to give me a word. And Brother Hagin started going, he started like stuttering. And I knew that when he did that, he had a word from God. He was having a hard time keeping his tongue. It wanted to go with his spirit rather than his head. So he taught a little bit on what a word of the Lord would be. And I knew he was doing that for people, some of them Kent's relatives, who didn't understand when a word of the Lord would come. Well, I knew it was a word of the Lord for me. And I said, "Oh, he's got a word of the Lord for me." But Chip, what were your feelings?
I knew he had a word for me. And I even asked Mom, and Mom said, "Shh, he's got a word for me." And I'm thinking, she's going to steal my only word that I ever wanted in my life.
How did you know he had a word for you?
I just could feel it. I was burning all inside and around. Something was happening to me, and I never wanted a word. That was the only day in my life that I ever wanted or knew I had a word.
Yeah, you didn't ever want one before you.
Oh, no, I'd run out the door.
You'd run out the door, and he started prophesying. And but, your dad would go, too, so if he could. But anyway, what had happened that day? What did he say to you?
Well, he said, "I have a word from the Lord for Chipper, and I wish, you know, when I stood up, we all know Brother Hagin's voice. And when he began to speak next, it was not his voice. Now, everybody in that room may have heard his voice, but I didn't. I heard the voice of the Lord. And he said, "Your father had a race that wasn't finished and a ministry that wasn't fulfilled because of feelings of inadequacy," or something to
mm-hmm.
that nature.
That was it.
And he said, "The anointing that was on him is now on you. And if you fulfill this race and finish this race, you will have long life and be blessed." And that was pretty much it. And that came upon me in, 1986?
He said the anointing?
The anointing. The anointing that was
anointing.
Upon him is now upon you.
That was upon him. Now, Chip, in the Old Testament, just the prophet, the priest, and the king were anointed. And then those who had a special task to do. And we're going to talk more about this as we go later on, finish this week and next. But an anointing is upon you. We're all anointed.
Right.
But there's an anointing on people to do whatever it is God wants them to do.
Right. Because sometimes we just think, well, it's for the fivefold ministry. Or,
right.
You know. But no, there's other things that he needs done.
Yes, and there's an anointing to do it.
And there's an anointing to do it. So what are you anointed to do?
Right, right, right. And then now he's given you a message that's touched hearts all around this world and had effectiveness on the anointing, a revelation. So go ahead, son.
Well, we were telling, you need to get this CD that we're offering this week.
And, CD or DVD.
Or DVD. And you can hear a whole lot of testimonies. But I had some athletes that I was spiritually advising, and I was having them say out of their mouths, "I am anointed to do whatever they're called to do, play football, baseball, basketball, whatever.
Golf.
On a level that the world is not familiar with, all for the glory of God." That's the motive, for the glory of God. And we were saying it over and over and over and over, and we were seeing just wonderful, wonderful results. Now, everybody who was producing results, there were some who tried it. And you know what I mean?
Nothing ever works if you try it.
Yeah, they would come to me. Athletes would say, "Oh, I tried that thing that Rodney did, or I tried what you did with this." You don't try faith. You don't try God. You don't try these things. You know, they try
you. You do it.
Yeah, you do it. That's what Paul said, to do it. And so we began to speak it over and over and over and over, and they were just excelling. Not only were they excelling, and fame was coming, but it was opening doors to reach other people. And God was clearly involved in this. And the Holy Spirit was clearly involved in what they were doing. So we didn't really know what we were doing. We were speaking it.
You were led by the Spirit.
We were just led.
Yes.
And but here's what I taught them all. The very first thing I taught them, Mom, was, and this is what I want to teach you, is the biblical definition of the anointing. We all know that Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. And you should translate and meditate. But listen to this one. It's the biblical definition of the anointing, and it's Acts 10:38. Now, and it says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, God was talking about they're together, the Holy Ghost and power. How God anointed Jesus. Isn't that interesting? God had to anoint Jesus.
That's right, son, because the first 30 years of his life, he didn't have this anointing until
not one great thing, not one miracle, nothing until the anointing.
Until
same way
the anointing.
With David. David could not have killed the lion, bear, and giant, or become the greatest king of Israel, or write the Psalms, or anything until he sent, who was it?
Samuel.
He sent Samuel there, and he anointed him. He prophesied over it, then he anointed him to do that special task at that particular time. He couldn't have done it without it.
No.
You know, God, Jesus couldn't even defeated Satan at the Mount of Temptation without it.
No, it wasn't until the Holy Ghost came on him.
Because see, John the Baptist, it came upon him
like a dove.
But see, a lot of people, we have preached this as preachers, well, he defeated him with the word. Yes, he did, but he was also anointed.
Yes.
He had to be anointed and with the word, spirit and word.
Yes, exactly.
So anyway, how God anointed Jesus with, here comes what the anointing is, the Holy Ghost.
Acts 10:38.
So if you break that down, and then he went about doing good and healing all the who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, he was anointed to do that. God anointed him with this. So you can say the anointing is the Holy Ghost. If you look at it in the Amplified, it says the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Spirit in the new. But I just like it. King James says Holy Ghost. It's kind of fun to say.
Greek, it's the pneuma.
Greek, it's pneuma.
Hebrew, it's the ruach.
Ruach.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. Trying to say it right. And so anyway, in other words, when I heard that teaching from Brother Copeland on translate, meditate, Christ.
Actually, the Lord said to him, he said, "Now see, it's revelation of the word. God's going to give Kenneth Copeland a revelation." He said, "Whenever you see that word Christ,
translate and meditate. I can do all things through the anointing."
And he said, translate it like this, the anointed one and his anointing.
I can do all things. Through all means all.
All. I can do all things through the anointed one and his anointing. That's Christ, that's Jesus, and the Holy Ghost.
And the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're finding out that not only does Christ mean anointing, but Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Now let's translate that because of what Acts 10:38 says. Your body is a temple of the anointing.
That's right. It is a temple of the anointing.
So young people, what are you doing to your body?
Oh, my Lord
That's
Jesus.
That's the temple of the anointing. You know? And so anyway, knowing that, everywhere we can now go to the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and in the Old Testament days, it had to come upon them, right?
Yes,
for a special task. But watch what would happen. Impossible things would become possible.
That's exactly
Elijah
right.
outran a horse for 26 miles.
That's right.
The king's horse. Can you imagine ESPN today going and they wouldn't even be interviewing somebody going, we are live and we have a man here who just outran, the Kentucky Derby winner. And he would probably throw the microphone down and go, this can't be. This just absolutely can't be.
Plus that, he killed 420 prophets of Baal that same day.
Well, and Samson, it came upon him. But if you look back, and what about the angel to Mary? She gets this great news. Oh, this is great news. You're going to have the son. He's going to do great things. Jesus. And she's sitting there with all these questions. And one of the questions was, how can this be when I know no man?
Mm-hmm.
And what was his answer? Mary. The Holy Ghost will come upon you.
Yes.
The anointing will come. That's how the impossible becomes possible.
That's exactly right.
There's a lot of people right now going, how can I do great things for God? It would almost be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit, the anointing, but we have to release it. We have to plug into this power. And I was preaching this in Sacramento, and this man and woman came up, and they had a word from the Lord, and the word was, God said, even I had to release the anointing and the Holy Spirit by speaking it. And he went back.
Yes, you do it with your mouth.
In Isaiah, or Genesis 1, he said,
Even God the Father.
In the beginning. Remember that?
Yes.
The earth was without, it was void.
Form and void, tohu vabohu.
And he said, and then one translation says, and the Spirit was hovering.
Yes.
And the Lord said through them, through this word, he said, why was he hovering? Because God hadn't spoken yet. And in every believer, every born-again Christian, he's hovering. He's hovering in you right now.
He's hovering over your
spirit.
Waiting
for what? You to release him. How? By saying,
I am anointed.
Don't you remember Jesus when he came back to the synagogue and he got up there to read? Remember that? And he said,
yes, sir.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me.
To preach.
And he had to preach and to lay hands on the sick. And he listed. Hey, if he was anointed to play basketball, he would have said it right there. But he didn't. He said everything he was anointed to do. Paul said to live as Christ. People, we need to speak. That's the plugging into this power. I am anointed. We are anointed. Quit saying the opposite. I can't do anything. I can't do this. No, you're anointed. The Holy Spirit. You can't do anything on your own, but the Holy Spirit with you, you can do all things.
Praise the Lord. And you've still got time to get in your car and come to Branson.
Yes.
And Chip's going to be preaching Saturday morning. Now it's Wednesday, and tonight in Branson at the Hilton, we will be praying, just a prayer meeting. But tomorrow at 9:00, our meeting, our Autumn Assembly of Prayer, officially starts. Prayers are coming from all over the world. So we'll have 9:00 in the morning Thursday, and at night 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at 10 and 6, I believe it is, or 6:30, and then Monday out at Prayer Mountain the day before the election. You'll want to be sure to come and pray with us about the election for our nation. That's out of the tent meeting out at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Go on our line, billybrim.org, billyebrim.org. And don't forget to order Chip's Teaching on the Anointing, CD or DVD, $10 each. Well, we sure do love you, and we're thankful that you've been here with us this week, and we trust that you will be with us in Branson if you can. And if not, we'll be back here. Don't forget, these are archived. If you missed Monday and Tuesday, they're archived. You can go online to billybrim.org and listen to Monday and Tuesday. Shalom, shalom.